Charlotte Soccer Show. We're back at Hot Fly, Danny Brams. Feels like we were just here a few minutes ago.
Like we never left. We're here, and the same bartending crew that was here last night is here also. So, you know, hey, hopefully they made a bunch of money last night from all y'all that came to the party, and they're happily working a second shift after a long night, a lot of cleanup afterwards. But great night. 1 point for Charlotte FC. Lots of points for all the fans. We just couldn't stop winning at the party last night, even though the team ended up in a draw. And Johnny was so fun. Cheers to you, brother. I have one.
Cheers to you.
You switched up from the extra times. I drank maybe. My over-under was like 9.5, and I think it just hit the over at 10 last night. But I'm having one more for the road here. Or not for the road, obviously, but one more for the game. Let's charge this one to the game. And
cheers.
An extra time. What are you drinking?
I've got Surreal Time. Because last night's party here at Hot Fly was absolutely surreal, just to see everybody show out.
Tifos,
it was so nice to see some of our, I think, best listeners of the show. Got to meet Joe Garcia last night.
Right.
Got to see the Volaks as well here at Hot Fly. And so many more that we could name here on the show. But just off the top, just want to say the party was absolutely epic. Thanks so much for everybody that came out here last night. And the folks that we talked to that are here at Hot Fly, if you didn't get to see our pregame show live, we got to talk to Cam Scholes, the owner here, the founder, the CEO of Hot Fly, and
one of many guests we had.
Exactly.
The live lineup live, it's a new thing. Last night, what I would call a pilot episode, and by the end of this season, that's going to be hopping. You're not going to want to ever miss lineup live. Thanks for everybody that watched that pilot episode, that first go at it last night. Because it was great how we just brought people in the room.
Yes.
Cam came. Rachel came. Your lovely wife. Matt Geslin, friend of the show, frenemy of the show, now the unofficial photographer of the show, doing great work all night. A lot of these photos that you're now seeing in our show open, shot by Matt. And then, speaking of Matt Swift from the Mint City Collective, vice president from the Mint City Soccer Show, host and creative director of that show, you could call him. And it was great to have him have a three-man weave going. It was great. You know, we don't have Anna here today, by the way. If you're missing Anna, so are we. She will be back. We didn't kick her out, but she had something going on today, so she couldn't be here. But she is a regular part of the Sunday shows, for sure. But it was great to talk to Swifty, and great to just celebrate Charlotte FC, and we had a lead, and everything was great. Like, should we show the video clip of just, like, how the party looked? We're going to show you all the highlights from the game.
Yeah,
we got some audio to show you, but let's just pop up the crowd reaction, because it was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
and a little vertical video here
This is exactly what it was like here at Hot Fly last night. I mean, it was a great party. We're in the warehouse, right? And the vendors were
packed.
Great. It was just like a really great moment for soccer in Charlotte. Let's just kind of put it that way, right? Because here's a brewery, Hot Fly, that recognize what was kind of happening around them, Danny. A brewery
just up the street
that is only three blocks away.
If we turn the camera to the left, there you'd see Bank of America Stadium,
right from the fortress. And because of that, I think Cam realized very quickly that this place has a chance to be the home of soccer in Charlotte. The soccer soul of the city, is expanding.
We're trying,
and that's a really nice thing. So that was the party. I think what I wanted to do is let the TIFOs know, Danny, what's on the rundown today.
Please do.
Because
let's talk about what we're going to talk about.
We have a lot of things coming up on the show today. We appreciate you being here live, especially the TIFOs that are here live. Everybody on the rewatch. We do this for you on Sundays, so you can watch on Sunday evenings, so you can watch on Monday mornings, so you can listen to the podcast as well. Remember, this is available on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're going to talk about a new signing. It's official. It's absolutely official that Charlotte FC, it's confirmed. It hasn't been announced yet by the club, but it has been confirmed by many sources, including our Carol Walton, the best journalist. Definitely the best journalist on the Charlotte FC.
When Carol tweets it, you know it's real. Sort of you'd say the same thing about Tommy Bogert on the national MLS level. When it comes to Charlotte FC, when Carol tweets it, you know it's real for sure. There's others I could say about that. There's some I wouldn't say that about. But
Lyle Abada.
We can expect Lyle Abada to come from Celtic. He has been from Israel. He's been capped by the Israeli national team. He's played two double-digit seasons scoring in the Scottish Premiership before, basically is not played for Celtic this year. Just lots of issues there, and he just basically fell out. And, you can definitely search on the internet for that as to why he needed to get out of Celtic. But he's coming here, and It's going to be great.
It's really exciting. We're going to talk about what this means for the squad moving forward and tie it to what happened last night, because I think watching last night, the match here at Hopfly, when it was time to bring on some impact subs, you realize very quickly there was a little bit of depth issues on the wing, and I think this is somebody that is going to come in and have the opportunity to play right away. And I've got some fun news, Danny, for the TIFOs out there, right?
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
This is a signing that we've been waiting for a couple different reasons. And one of those reasons is that we're expecting now Zoran Crneta, the general manager for Charlotte FC, to join us here on the show to talk about the signing. Not on this show, but very, very soon we're going to have Zoran Crneta here on,
can't wait,
on this
little
show.
Sit down.
And we're going to talk about his philosophy, how this signing happened. And I think what we should do is give him props, because Dino asked for a winger. He asked for some a pacey player on the wing, and Zoran Crneta got it done, Danny.
Go find a DP before the summer window. I mean, it's slim pickings, right? And what Zoran did was he found a situation. I mean, basically what it boils down to is that Celtic Football Club in Glasgow, their supporters just generally strongly identify with the cause of Palestinians. Abada is an Israeli. It's just a bad mix for them. It didn't fit. He just didn't feel comfortable playing in front of that crowd.
Right.
So you can, you know, be cynical about that and say we took opportunity of a, you know, a political or a really a human rights situation that's not going good. But that's what it took for Zoran to go get this guy who's a designated player to come in March and not have to wait until June. So it's good business from that point of view. Again, you could say it's cynical, and you and I can all talk about that offline. But for now, I think we're just excited to have Abada come on and join the club. That's what it's really all about. We need to welcome him, because this is a guy who's coming from a place where he didn't feel welcome.
That's right, and he's going to be welcome here in Charlotte. There's no doubt about that. I think the supporters, what they've proved, the Charlotte FC supporters have proved here in Charlotte, is that they're a very, very welcoming group of people. You could even see this morning that when you leave the club, when you decide that you don't want to be a part of this club, when Karol Swiderski scores the game-winning goal in Serie A this morning, you could see that the Charlotte FC supporters were happy for him and happy to see him happy. So we're going to talk about that signing. We're going to talk about, and we're going to hear from Dean Smith post-game. We're going to hear from Adilson Milanda post-game as well. These two players spoke after the match. And we're going to have a tough conversation about Enzo Capetti. A big chance missed last night. No shots in that opening match at home against NYCFC. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned? No goals in two matches for Charlotte FC's only senior designated player. Reminder, Liel Abada is a young designated player, so Enzo Capetti is still the only senior designated player on this squad. We're going to talk about Patrick Ajimong, subbed on, made his season debut last night. And
almost had an insane impact. Couldn't quite pull it off, but he did have an impact.
I'll give you a tease about what that conversation is going to sound like, because I thought Patrick Ajimong was way off the pace last night in Vancouver. It was really tough to see. I know he's coming off of an injury, but he was just, it was clear to me that he was not ready to play.
How could you? You've turned your back on Patrick Ajimong after one 20-minute sub appearance? Come on, Johnny. This is your guy.
Danny, you could say turn your back, right? How I'm going to say it is, when you prop a player up, you got to be real when that player doesn't necessarily make the impact that you would expect him to make.
Sure.
We're going to shout out the full 90 performers, of course.
We're
going to shout out the full 90 performers as well. We're going to talk about player ratings. And then, of course, we're going to ask for TIFO's questions. And we're going to do it a little bit differently.
I'm starring these questions right now.
On today's show. So what we're going to ask you to do, and we're going to prioritize the TIFOs, our tremendous friends of the show that are live watching the show, right? And what we want to do is, if you're watching us now, drop us a question in the chat. We're going to star that, and we're going to come back in our third segment. We're going to answer all questions that come through live as we're doing the show. I think that's a really fun way to do it, and a way to reward the fantastic folks who are hanging out with us live on a Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, almost evening in Charlotte. So, where do you want to start, Danny Brams? We're going to start by listening to Dino and Addy.
Let's hear, because I'm a post-game sound guy. You know, the reason I do Decoding the Presser from time to time whenever I feel the bug on our YouTube channel here as you're watching on, because I just love listening to post-game sound. I love, like, seeing a great game and then hearing what they had to say about it, right? So, I went through this morning and did a little cut of the Adilson Milanda and Dean Smith press conferences, and I will cue that up for the TIFOs now. Enjoy a little 2 minutes of just some back and forth with the guys here talking about some of the big moments in the game, and then we will, if you've forgotten what those moments are, we will show them to you as well. But listen to this.
Scored a good goal. Had a penalty taken away from us as well for some reason. And I thought we were the better team by far the first half. So I thought it became a little bit scrappy in the second half. yeah, disappointed with the goal we conceded. We didn't track the runner, but the lad's not even had a shot. He's tried to pass it square, and it squirmed in underneath Cali. So
we have to watch the video again, some images, but maybe the line was not. Every player was not on the same line. That's why the other player was free to play.
Yeah, he's tried to pull it back, and he's mishit it. And I think Cali's tried to read the cross, and it's just kind of squirmed underneath him. Yeah, it was a horrible goal to concede, that's for sure.
When they start to press us at the end of the first half, they get a little bit confidence with that goal, obviously. So, yeah, of course, we knew when we come back on the pitch for the second half, they would start to maybe press a little bit more. And we had to find a way to get out of this and then create chances too. So, no, it was not easy. It was not easy, but we have to find, yeah, the way to adjust our game and then to find the solution to score another one.
Yeah, no, it's just football. You know, sometimes you have to accept that. I mean, I'm going to have to find out the VAR ruling, you know, in the USA, whether it's the same here, because in the UK, it's clear and obvious error. I've just watched it back. There's certainly no clear and obvious error.
The team spirit was very good tonight. Sometimes in football, it happens. You cannot score the second one, but when you do 1-1, we just cannot lose at the end of the game. If you cannot win, just you cannot lose.
It was certainly no clear and obvious error. It looked to me like the referee didn't really want to go against his decision, but he was maybe being told to.
Maybe they told him. Maybe someone told this replacement referee to change that goal. Maybe the league office put the call into the VAR. I don't know. It looked like a penalty to me, John, but what do you think?
I disagree completely. I thought Enzo went down pretty easily. And my reaction in the moment, I'm just being honest with the TIFOs
here.
You got to
be honest.
I'm being honest with you, Danny, is that my reaction in the moment was, Enzo, get up.
Just get up, man, please.
Think about it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Was it a deserved penalty? Was there contact? I don't know. Maybe there was contact, but do I have this right? Enzo was the one that got the touch on the ball, and it went way out of bounds, right?
Yep, we're watching it now here. If you're watching on the stream, thanks for being with us. And yeah, if Enzo controls this ball, I think he keeps the penalty.
I agree.
Originally pointed to the spot, Takeoka's really pissed, obviously, you can see. And it took a long, it was actually a long VAR, which is why we conceded the goal, because this VAR check took way too long, I think, personally, but here's the replays. I mean, it looks like a pretty clear foul. It's just the problem is Enzo's the last to touch it. And I think that's why it ultimately ended up not being a penalty. But it's no clear and obvious error from the original call, which is what Dino's upset, but right. He's used to coming from
okay,
England.
Okay, now you've made your best argument.
That's what I'm saying.
Now you've
that's
made your best argument.
Saying. Well, hey, you know, hey. Let me talk long enough, I'll find my way to an argument right. That works, for sure.
So I would think about it this way, right? By the naked eye, I think the referee got it wrong to begin with.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think it's a penalty to 100%. Begin with. Now let's dive into the conversation about he does call the penalty on the field, and it needs to be a clear and obvious error by the referee to overturn. And in that case, there is contact here. So therefore, I understand Dean Smith. And I think this is the first window really into seeing Dean Smith a little pissed off.
Right. Yeah? Dean Smith meets American referees is basically the way I pitched this thing on one of the social posts this morning.
American scab referees.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know, dude, I know that they're called scabs and I get it, but like, I really just don't really have any love for the original refs. So it's like, I can't really feel bad for them because I think a pro ref or an MLS PRA ref would have done the same exact thing last night, unfortunately. So
fair enough.
Doesn't really matter. Maybe wouldn't have called it originally, but probably because he's trailing behind the play and it clearly is contact, looks like a foul. It's literally only because Enzo didn't control it that I think they overturned it. I really believe that.
I want to be very clear about this. Enzo's first touch was poor, and by the time he was fouled, by the time he did receive contact, which, by the way, was very minimal, by the time he received that contact, that ball was already – his first touch was so bad, the ball was already 7 yards away from
sure,
him.
Sure, and I wouldn't call it a dive. I would call it taking advantage of the contact.
Yeah.
It's this fine line. Right. Maybe I'm on the crown jewel side of that line, obviously. You know, I'm the one wearing the mint-colored glasses there. But Sean Swaim agrees with you, Johnny, one of our friends in the graphic design world. He invented the logo for the show. If you don't know Sean Swaim, you better know him. Sean, I need a new phone case, by the way. I had your old iPhone 12 one, and I picked up the iPhone 15 recently. So
shout out
hit
to
me
Sean.
Up with the phone case, please. I would be gladly order one from your shop. I just forgot the link because I'm an idiot. I could probably search. Anyway, that was kind of our chance to go up 1-0, and we could have been like, hey, like, let's go. Let's get this goal. And we could have felt hard done by. The reason the penalty doesn't linger quite as much is because everything that happened after. That was very early. So
right. There's
really no reason to really get upset about the penalty decision because the game took 17 twists and turns, including one right shortly afterwards, which is Yuri Tavares scoring his first ever goal in MLS.
Boy for Raposo. He tried to back heel. It's stolen by Westwood. It's Diahari crossing to the area for Westwood with Tavares. And they score! And Yuri Tavares! The ball went through the legs of Capetti, and Tavares gets his first MLS goal! Denied by the crossbar a week ago, he now is true! And Charlotte with a lead at the half-hour mark.
A delicious dummy from Enzo Capetti, and Tavares breaks a hole into the net here in Vancouver. It's fantastic from Charlotte FC. The high press starts with Westwood. Diahare, a beautiful low cross in, and Tavares doesn't miss a beat. In his run, swings his boot, gets enough underneath it to make it absolutely unsavable. A rocket goal scorer for Crown Legacy FC graduates from MLS Next Pro and in style gets his first MLS goal.
Allow me to quote my guy's third eye blind. Can I graduate? Can I graduate?
Great song.
Great call from Jess and Will there on WFNZ, obviously. Did she say a delicious dummy or a delightful dummy? I've already forgotten, so sorry about that. But great. I still love the idea of that dummy. Enzo, the knowledge that he's got a runner coming in behind. That's Dean Smith's system. Because like Enzo can play with the confidence up there that he knows Dean has instructed the winger to be on that attacking run. Enzo can trust the run is coming behind him, even if he's got his back fully turned. He might have seen it out of the corner of his eye a second before, but to know Dean shouted out that dummy. One of the reporters in the press conference said, "Hey Dino, how about that dummy from Enzo on the goal?" And he goes, "Oh, it was great. It was great." So
the key, I think, on the dummy for me, Danny, is it shows that Enzo Capetti is aware of his spacing and he's aware of who's around him on the pitch. This is one of the most important things for any soccer player, right? Is to understand where your teammates are at any given moment. And sometimes, I think in that scenario, right, you could kind of make the cliche that Enzo had eyes in the back of his head.
Right, I felt like it, yeah.
And because he knew.
His left shoulder.
And he has been drilled to understand when he's in that space on the pitch inside the 18, there should be someone crashing in behind him. And based on that situation, Enzo Capetti,
could he have trusted that last year? I mean, it's almost time to stop talking about last year, but I just want to shout out Dean and say, like, it's the faith in the month and a half of training camp they've done under Dean that allowed him to do that. I really think that's worth pointing out.
Yeah, I mean, this is a totally different club with Dean Smith at the wheel. We've been talking about that on the show for a long time now, and we're going to continue to talk about that, Danny. And the reason why is because we have a professional manager who's managed at the highest level of football in the world. And in my opinion, it's so easy to see how clearly that's impacted the players on this squad cerebrally. And I think that's the most important part here, right? Because if you listen back to some of Dean Smith's press conferences, and I think every time we're there for a press conference in the building, right, he makes sure that he tells people, this room is called the learning room.
Yes, he always calls it the learning room.
They do the press conferences and the team watch sessions in the same room. It's kind of like this stadium-style seating where Dean Smith can hold court in front of a crowd, right? So he's got his players in there. He's got the media in there.
Right.
And when the media is in there, yes, he's doing his regular press conference duties, and he says he's having a good time with it. He does it well. But when those players are in there, Dean Smith is teaching them a lot about the game.
100%. 100%. Yeah. He's great. We have more highlights clips to show you, but because we are also into instant TIFO's requests, Sean Swaim, I just shouted him out a second ago, says, I could watch that goal on repeat for hours. Well, let's do it again.
Boy for Raposo. He tried to back heel. It's stolen by Westwood. It's Diahari crossing to the area for Westwood with Tavares. And they score! And Yuri Tavares! The ball went through the legs of Capetti, and Tavares gets his first MLS goal! Denied by the crossbar a week ago, he now is true! And Stroud with a lead at the half-hour mark.
A delicious dummy from Enzo Capetti, and Tavares breaks a hole into the net here in Vancouver. It's fantastic from Charlotte FC. The high press starts with Westwood. Diahare, a beautiful low cross in, and Tavares doesn't miss a beat. in his run, swings his boot, gets enough underneath it to make it absolutely unsavable. A rocket goal scorer for Crown Legacy FC graduates from MLS Next Pro.
By the way, I finally got that pronunciation right on that name.
You finally got the name right?
And the reason why is because in that first match day, when he had that sick header off the bar and eventually in for Adilson Milan to goal, the play-by-play commentator on that taught me quickly, oh, it's the Portuguese way to say
Tavares. Yeah, it's great. So, like Jose.
Exactly right. So cheers to Tavares for showing up and showing out in Vancouver. And I thought one of the most interesting or the more interesting comments post-game was that Tavares wasn't afraid to admit the fact that he was unbelievably nervous against NYCFC in his first start.
Oh, you can tell from his body language.
The home supporters, and he graded himself in that match, and he said that he played very poorly. So he had a chip on his shoulder heading up to Vancouver, and he wanted to play well, and he felt like he did after his second goal. So I think now that you're seeing this player, and by the way, he's somebody that's going to go play again against Toronto on the road, Danny. He's somebody that's going to go again play against Nashville on the road. The next time that he comes back to the fortress and plays against Columbus Crew, the reigning MLS Cup champions, you got a chance to have a player that is feeling supremely confident.
Other than the fact that Leo Abada is going to be here and it's going to be like a lot more competition at the wing spot, like I don't know if he keeps continues to start. It's like kind of him or Kerwin has to sort of.
Well,
go
let
to
me
the
stop
bench.
You there because
I think our
let me stop you there.
Our
let
DP
me stop
has
you there,
to play
Danny.
Though.
No,
our
Danny,
DP
let me
has
stop
to
you
play.
There. There's a visa process. This is going to take time. Lyle Abada is not going to play next weekend. He's not going to play the weekend after that.
I know,
either.
But you're talking about with the Columbus match.
Yeah, that's.
I bet
in
he'll
weeks.
Be ready in. I bet he'll be here in 3 weeks.
When was Diani signed? 3 weeks ago, right?
We'll see what
Let's
happens.
Just have a real conversation about
we'll
it.
See, we will get more we'll get more info about where we're at. I don't know where we're at in the process. I can't speculate. It could be fast. It could be slow. You know how these things can go quick. They can go slow.
What we've been told by the club is that the visa process takes a long time, that it's difficult in the United States to obtain a visa.
Right.
So Lyle Abada has two options right now. He can come to the United States and he can do
But you're
all
talking about the last week of March. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm talking about 3 weeks from now. 3 weeks from now. 3 weeks is not that much of a long time.
I'm not going to speculate too much because I don't know.
And by the way,
I'm not going to speculate too much because I don't know the actual details.
Think about it this way, too, right?
We'll look him up at the break.
You don't think he needs a visa to work in the United States? Honestly, I'm asking a question.
I just don't know the details.
Right. Okay. All of a sudden, Danny Brams.
I defer to you.
All of a sudden, after just giving any opinion in the world for the last 2.5 years, Danny Brams is worried about the details and getting it right on the show.
All right. You want to talk about opinions? How about this opinion? If you heard the Dean Smith sound rip
played earlier. I'm not giving any opinions here. I'm telling you. This is an international.
No, you said I'm giving opinions.
No,
I was segueing. I'm off this. I don't know the details, so I'm moving.
For some reason, to me, it seems like you're sweeping under the rug the fact that we have a new signing and it might be 2 or 3 weeks.
I'm optimistic
he plays.
That 3 weeks he will be able to play. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I don't expect him to play at Nashville.
Right.
I do expect him available for Columbus Crew. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I'll eat the L if that happens, but it's 3 weeks away. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's totally fine. But I think the reason why I brought up Diani is because I want to know when he signed, right? So
Diani's
still not available.
Where in the world is Jabril Diani? For sure. Like, I have no fucking clue, but
it's exciting. We're going to talk about the signing in a little bit, so we don't have to dive into.
I'm excited.
Now.
I just don't know the details. Is all I'm saying.
Right.
Look at Kucheki, unapologetically positive. That's why we love it. Dude.
If it's up to Danny, like honestly, I've heard that Leo Abada is going to make his debut on Tuesday night at SportsLink at Revolution Park. I think he's going to be here in a couple days.
Just to get a warm-up game in.
Yes, he's playing in the 7. He's playing co-ed 7-on-7 Tuesday night right here uptown. So keep an eye out for him there, and we'll see how he looks.
He's
training.
That's why Anna's not here. Him and Anna are at a training session right now, so he can get ready for sure.
So let's
just trying to segue. I had a great segue about opinions, and you said opinions.
Okay.
And I thought about Dean Smith's opinions on what we're about to watch here, which were revealed in the sound rip we played earlier. I absolutely love Dean Smith telling Ryan Raposo that your goal sucks and you can take your misplaced cross that stole 2 points from us and shove it in a sack, mister. And here's what it looked like.
Just the second quarter for Vancouver. Good swinger. Capetti a piece of it. Pite. Chipping that, looking for Raposo! Across the line!
executed set piece from the Whitecaps. And the final touch from Raposo tricks the keeper, Kalina, just a little bit. Does he stay onside? That's the look that we'll have to have here. Linesman thinks so, as Raposo with the first Whitecap goal of the year. As the ball's headed away by Capetti, it's Vite who plays the final ball in. And Raposo well onside there as he's kept on by Vargas. And Kalina, thinking that ball is going back across the face of goal, actually ends up going off the toe, loosely, of Raposo and trickles over the goal line. Goalkeeper caught out.
Johnny. Ugh.
I mean, it's rough. It's
right
rough to
before
watch.
Halftime.
It's absolutely rough to watch. And Dean Smith is absolutely right. You could tell that the player was trying to square the ball. He didn't catch it right, and he caught Christian Kalina on the wrong foot, and it squirts into the back of the net.
Kalina actually making a good play that didn't work out. Okay. It was actually a good play. I don't know.
Yeah.
We got more Kalina clips coming up in a second. We got another one to show you first, but I don't know. I love that Dean's like, it just squirmed in. It just squirmed in under Kali. You know, like he's missed his cross. He's fluffed his chances, if you will. And just like, I couldn't believe, like, it's clear that he's trying for a cross. And the way he celebrated, he did a little like this celebration or whatever. Like, come on, bro. Come on, Raposo.
I think that's why Dean Smith took those comments at the press conference, is because the way that he celebrated the goal made it seem like
he
meant to do it.
He put his boot up on his teammate's knee, and his teammate was shining the boot. Like, bro, this, you didn't just score a banger from outside the box, dude. You fudged up a cross, and it squirmed in under Kali.
Okay, so if you want to take a...
Hey, Raposo, your goal sucked. Come on the show and talk about it.
A sobering shot of truth serum is that... I think one of the biggest issues in MLS is goalkeeping. I think the goalkeeping quality in MLS is not good. And I think that Christian Kalina falls into that category. And frankly, I think every goalkeeper on Charlotte FC's roster falls into that category. And that's the type of goal in the moment of the game that is very cringeworthy. And for me, I'll tell you a fun story about last night. It was 45 minutes, 5 minutes of extra time, which I thought was a lot in the first half. But hey, leave it to MLS and the assistant referee to decide whatever he wants as far as stoppage time. There was that VAR check. There was that VAR check is why probably why 5 minutes were put onto the clock. But it was 45 plus 3.5, and I was not watching the match.
Right. It's like
I walked outside for halftime to get some fresh air, and I did not realize that Vancouver scored until I walked back into the brewery.
Until after halftime
when I walked back into the warehouse.
Poor thing.
And I said to myself, man, the vibe in here is different. And someone was like, you didn't see it? And I was like, no, they equalized right before half. I was like, oh, great, that's awesome. So I didn't see the goal until after the match, and it's unbelievable disappointing. But I have to say, this to me, I think, is a really interesting perspective, is that, and I want the fans to realize, the supporters to realize who were here at the watch party, that, I mean, that goal killed your vibe big time. Because when I came back into the warehouse, I was like, did somebody die? It was 1-1. Charlotte FC was playing well. That's a good time to get behind your club, to enjoy it. But everyone was afraid. It was like the match was already over. Everyone was so disappointed. That goal, my point is, and I'm tying this back into the time that the goal was conceded, was that goal, Danny, just really deflated everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's the classic football cliche. Worst time to concede. And it absolutely was that, because 100%. If you look at the attack momentum in the second half and you listen to what Dean Smith said, Vancouver took that gift of momentum and they ran with it in the second half.
Well, what Dean called it, he said it got scrappy in the second half. Like, he just, like, we were in control for 30 minutes, then we decided to just not be in control anymore. So if you look, I brought up the SOFA score here. If you look right above our little window there, you can see that those blue and green bars. That's the attack momentum. And you can see it's very blue for about 30 minutes there. And then even our goal is kind of against the run of play as Vancouver starts to get control back in the end of the first half. And then again, we come out nice in the first half, kind of controlling things. And then for the last 40 minutes, we're just under pressure. And you heard Adi Milanda say, you know, when you find yourself in that situation and you're like under the cosh and they're coming at you and you're just trying to hold on to something, maybe you're not able to win, but you just can't lose. And so the team did a good job of not losing. I'll say that for sure.
Right.
But
unbeaten.
You talk about bad goalkeeping in MLS.
Right.
Vancouver's goalkeeper's pretty good. Takeoka, he comes over from the J-League, and he had the moment of the match because you can't count their goal really as a moment of the match. It was so horrible. But you got to give their goalkeeper credit because even before that Raposo goal happened, right, it should have been 2-0. Here's what Enzo did that's really got a lot of people asking questions about what this guy's capable of.
And with the numbers in their favor and Tavares making that aggressive run into the penalty box, they're able to put one away.
Capetti steals from Branko Veselinovic. He's all alone. Takeoka the save. Rob Charlotte of the second one. And Capetti.
It's a good save. Can you play that one more time?
Because yeah, let me play it one more time.
Before we talk about the
negative. We got
negative,
no replays on this one,
before we talk
so, yeah.
about the negative, let's just talk about the positive. Take a look at Breck Diagra here.
Yeah, Diagra's header is amazing. Also, there's more on this later. Good things happen when Christian Kalina kicks it deep also, for sure, but hey, here we go.
And with the numbers in their favor and Tavares making that aggressive run into the penalty box, they're able to put one away.
Capetti steals from Branko Veselinovic. He's all alone. Takeoka the save. Rob Charlotte of the second one. And Capetti.
It's painful.
That is Kalina at his best, right? When he's knocking the ball long. I think when we talk about telepathic communication between a number 10 and a number 9, mm-hmm. we just witnessed it right there. Diagra knew exactly how and where to head that ball into Capetti's path. We talked about spacing. We talked about knowing where mm-hmm. each other and where your teammates are on the field. That's a perfect example of that. The problem is that when you're one-on-one with a keeper like that, you've got to put that into the back of the net.
Lift it up. If you ever watched Lost, Desmond said it so famously, lift it up. You got to lift it up, man. Just lift it up, Capetti. Like, please
little
chip the
cheeky,
keeper.
Yeah. Little cheeky chip.
Little cheeky chip, and all of a sudden we're up 2-0. And as Dean said, he said, if Enzo finishes that and we go up 2-0, we probably score 4 goals.
I think
it's
win.
Just
yes.
a floodgate situation
yes.
at that point. And that forces Vancouver to be more desperate in defending, et cetera.
And that was in the 41st minute, right?
That was the 41st minute. So right? That was right before the injury time. That was like 10 minutes before they scored because there's so much injury time. But, yeah, it was theoretically right before half.
Right. So
we could have killed them right before half. Instead, they killed our vibe right before half.
Exactly. If you're talking about if you want to circle a moment in the match, a 5 to 10 minute window that really dictated how the result ended, it's this 10 minutes for sure.
What do you think of this quote from Chief Kiefer? I love it. Kiefer, missed you on Saturday, but great to see you in the chat. Thank you. A DP finishes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a DP finishes it. We're talking about Bradley Wright Phillips came on this show and said Enzo could be contending for the Golden Boot if things go right, you know, and all of a sudden, I don't think he's going to win the Golden Boot if he's missing those chances, if he's giving away penalties. Sean, you know, he's defending Enzo all season. This isn't helping. Where do you stand on Enzo, John? Because I know you've been high on him. You're a big Enzo guy. But, I mean, the penalty, the missed chance there, he's leading the line. His pressure is amazing. He definitely. So if we had had a longer clip, I had a longer clip, but then I wanted the Willie P and Jess call, so I took the shorter WFNZ cut. But if we had seen the goal, the Tavares goal beforehand, that's another long ball from Kalina. What happened a few seconds before that is Kalina kicks it way deep. We get it working on the wing, and then Enzo and Brecht do a little back and forth. And Enzo did this really nice first time pass into Brecht, and then went on his run before his dummy. Mm-hmm. So Brecht had a great game, by the way. You saw Brecht's header there to set up that Enzo chance. Enzo's also forced the mistake. You talk about the positive on that miss, like his barreling down on Renko Veselinich, I think is the guy's name, the CB for Vancouver. That he forced that mistake. That's not a mistake that a guy's just going to make if no pressure's on him, but the pressure forced it.
Right.
So there's pluses and minuses here.
Of course there is. Yeah, and there's only been, by the way, 2 matches, right? So anything that's discussed right now is not written in stone. I think we're seeing things play out right in front of our face in the same way Dean Smith is. The only thing that he has that we don't is that we only get to watch 30 minutes of practice every single week, and he gets to watch every minute of every single training plus the matches. So Dean Smith is taking in all this information as well. But for me specifically, when I think about Capetti's big chance missed last night, to me, I categorize that as 2 big chances missed in 2 games.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, what do you mean? He didn't have a shot in the opening match against NYCFC.
He missed a chance, though.
Yes, he did. And I'm saying handing that ball over to Kerwin Vargas mm-hmm. for the PK is a big missed chance that could have been his shot. And if he does step onto the PK spot in the in that match. It's considered a big chance, of course. Then in the next week, he has the ball on his foot, one-on-one with the keeper, and doesn't finish. So that's that's 0-2. You don't want to go 0-3.
If we did go on to score those four goals that were dancing in Dean's head in the post-game press conference, you figure one's from Enzo. So in theory, Enzo could have three goals right now after two games, you know, if we had been able to open those floodgates against Vancouver and everything else went right. So I don't know. I mean, as Casey Williams says, thanks for being in the chat, Casey, 12 to 15 goals this season for Enzo, nowhere close to Golden Boot. That's realistic. In Bradley Wright Phillips' defense, he wasn't predicting Enzo for a Golden Boot. He was just saying hot take about Charlotte is this could happen.
I don't disagree with Casey, and I think that that's a realistic take.
Mm-hmm.
But for those people who are talking about Enzo Capetti and potentially being in the Golden Boot race, is the reason why people are saying that is because of opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what have we seen? We've seen two games, two opportunities.
Yeah.
Right? So are we going to see a third opportunity against Toronto on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock? By the way, 2 o'clock start against Toronto next Saturday,
this
coming Saturday. On the road. Hopefully the wind won't be as bad as it was last year up in Toronto.
Against the wind. That was the best.
Yeah,
one of the best episodes last year for sure. And we did get a draw out of that game.
Yes.
Toronto actually looked pretty good. I think they were beating New England when we started this episode, and I think New England tied it while we were in the course of the episode. But
one of my favorite parts about yesterday, right? You mentioned Matt Swift joining us pregame on our pregame show, and I asked him about Andrew Privet. I talked about Andrew Privet and somebody that can really all of a sudden claim to be one of this team's best defenders. And a lot of people didn't believe that he could continue to get the job done. And there was a moment last night where he almost saved the match.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I got a clip here queued up. So some people have been wondering about Kalina. This is a clip of a few Kalina plays that we'll talk about afterwards, but then it ends on an amazing Andrew Privet play that we've got to talk about. This is, I mean, we owe 3 points, I think, to Privet, because we would have lost. The win becomes a draw, and the draw becomes a loss without this kid. Two great plays, two point-saving plays in two games for Privet. Kid absolutely amazes me. If you heard it on the pregame show, we talked about it. Watch this kid in action after a little Kalina sketchiness as well.
Whitecaps keeping Alessandro Schopf on the field. Talk to Dean Smith about the travels and how different it is in North America.
4-8-5 away from home, and there it is from distance. Rattles it off of Kalina. And Schopf gave it a ride.
That was a heavy strike from Alessandro Schopf.
Here it comes from the newly crowned captain. Booming one to the far post. Down it goes into the six, and a save made by Kalina.
Into a right back position where he is sitting right now with Brown off the field.
Berhalter to White, popped up. Pico is right there. On his left foot, Pico! The save is made, and just by Kalina, cleared off the line by Privet.
Andrew Privet on the spot there.
That last one is trickling over the goal line 100% if Privet's not there.
Totally.
No chance it doesn't.
It's a bad giveaway that leads to a goal. And
right.
How long was that? That was 43 seconds of almost unwatchable football. I mean, my goodness gracious. Why did Christian Kalina make those two saves? Well, I guess you can call it three. He didn't make the third save, but those first two saves, why did he make them look so difficult?
Right, right.
Like, they were so difficult.
How do you not catch the ball from deep for sure? I don't get that at all. As we're looking at it again here, and whoops, there we go. Sorry. So we're just looking at it again here, and you know, how do you not catch that? That's from like
There's a lot of heat on that. I'm fine with it. There's nobody there. There's a lot of heat on that. It's this next one where I ask myself, like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. He definitely made it look like a great save when it should have just been a routine for sure.
This ball's like dribbling to the back post.
Right.
I mean, that ball's going at like half of a mile.
I think
he
mistimed his jump there, his leap. It was a side jump, but yeah, that's what I think. I don't know. And then this, horrible clip. Like,
what was Nathan Byrne doing there?
I mean, Byrne is a right back, not a center back. That's all I will say. But look at this. I mean, that's going in. There's no other Charlotte FC player anywhere near that ball.
Right.
Like, without 34, dude. Big 34 in the back. Are you kidding me? Like, we are, baby. We need Privet on the show. Privet, please come on the show. We will make you feel like the god that you are. And thank you for the 3 points that you have saved us already in two matches this year, for sure.
And don't hear me the wrong way. I'm not trying to be nasty about
just saying
Christian Kolina, but I am just trying to take a long view here and be consistent with everything that we've talked about for the last two seasons and now a couple games. Is that there's been moments where Christian Kolina was one heck of a shot stopper. He can keep the ball out of the back of his net, but there's just some moments where you scratch your head and you say, what the hell is going on?
He did save that point-blank shot from Pico. Obviously, he got enough on it that it was a slow dribbler to enable Privet to save it, but it was not so slow that it wasn't going over the line.
Right.
I mean, like, you're not mad at Kolina, but you're just like, you hate, and to be fair, we were doing in the room at the watch party in the warehouse, you know, right behind us, right through those windows, y'all. We were doing the dun 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 dun. Kolina! You know, everyone was doing the chants because we support him, but it's like you don't have to make it look so tough sometimes,
right,
like you said.
Yeah, it just looked more difficult than it needed to be. But anyway, it is what it is. There's only one, for what it's worth, he's only given up one goal in two matches. So
right.
If that continues.
We were just coming off of five straight clean sheets.
Exactly, right. So. Yeah, so I think I think there's some people going to look at this and tell me that Christian Kolina is a great goalkeeper. And what I'll say to you is we'll see what happens over the next 32 games of this season.
Long way to go.
There's a lot of games to go for Patrick Aujamong too, Danny.
Long way to go on the show. A lot of games to go for Patrick Aujamong. We have one more clip here in this segment before we take a little break. We want to thank all the hundreds and thousands of you that are watching us here as we stream live. It's absolutely amazing, the response.
Oh, I need to start us on Instagram. I never started us on Instagram.
All right. Well, sorry for the IG crowd. That's probably why we're only in thousands instead of tens of thousands on this stream. But let me go ahead and play. This is a chance that Dean shouted out. This was our last probably great chance to try to get the 3 points out of this thing. And you would have loved to see it because, like I always say, when he comes on, goals happen, but it did not happen this time.
Wide open was Marcus on the far side. Pass sailed away a little bit. Capetti now into the area. Back outside. Marcus looking for Aujamong.
It's a chance for Aujamong. He doesn't, the word that you used pre-show was the same word I was saying. He doesn't get enough purchase.
Right, not
on
enough
that
purchase
header.
On the header. Yeah.
You know, he just didn't feel like it was the right price. He didn't want to make that purchase.
Well, I mean, but look at the work by Enzo. And this is why none of us are giving up on Enzo. But I'll call it up here where we can talk over it. And, you know, it's a nice play by Kerwin to bring it in. And he sets up Enzo. And Enzo could, like, turn his head towards goal, but he sees all the space Kerwin is standing in. And so he's just like, fuck it. And then there's five defenders, and Patrick's still able to get the chance. Patrick's, you know,
I think that was that Burn on the cross or Vargas?
Okay, so was that Burn? Yeah, that probably was Burn, actually.
I don't know. Play it again. That's what I'm asking. You play it again. And
so the first field switches over to Vargas. Yeah, it was Burn. You're right. My bad. Sorry. Forgive me there. But nice overlapping run. Nice job by Enzo to spot it, you know. I used the wrong name, but the point remains as far as Enzo's quality on that play. And I like it. I wish that Patrick had just timed his jump a little better. He probably could have got the purchase, like you said. But the unselfish play by Enzo is why I'm keeping the faith with him. I'm keeping the faith with Enzo Capetti for the second year in a row.
This is the second Sunday
keeping the faith.
At Hot Fly where I feel like this Enzo Capetti discussion is morphing into a case of extremes, right?
Right. He's either all the way good or all the way horrible. Yeah.
No. You know, last week it was, you know, you want the PK so bad that you're angry, and now you're giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
This week to me is like, oh, you're being lauded as an unselfish player, but you really at your best as a striker when you play a little bit selfishly, right? So I think Enzo is somebody that is trying to really just get in the manager's good graces.
Right.
I think that Enzo is somebody that is listening to what Dean Smith is saying. I think that he wants to play team football. And I think last night there was a lot of back passes. There was a lot of passes that Enzo made last night where he was making the correct pass, not thinking about himself, not taking too many dribbles. And I think that is all well and good for a striker. But I just want to see a little bit more selfishness from Enzo. I do. And this is coming from somebody that's been critical of Enzo in the past. And this comes off of the idea that there was no shots in that opening match, right?
Right.
And there wasn't a lot of shots last night either from Enzo. I just want him to, you know, I'm totally fine with when
shoot the ball,
when
man.
It's 1-1, you just shoot the ball. So for me, Patrick Aujamong, again, I mentioned off the top of the show, and this is just my opportunity to say this. I talked to Keegan about this after the match, one of our great TFOs. Tegan and Sarah?
Yeah.
Tegan and Sarah.
They were there last night, and it's always great to see them. But I talked to Keegan after the match. What I said was that there was something happening with Patrick Ajimong and the way his touch let him down. Right, this isn't about that. Well, maybe it is about that, right? The touch on that ball, the purchase on that header wasn't great. Patrick was rusty. There's no doubt about it that Patrick was his touch was off. So
wasn't his best moment. Thanks for everybody that's watching. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna refill these beers and we'll come back with a segment two. Might be on a different link here. So thank you all very much.
All right, welcome back, Charlotte Soccer Show. We were wondering if we were still broadcasting, but I think we are.
Do you see us?
I don't know if we got a copyright strike or if we didn't, but we were showing highlights. And in the past, MLS has been cool with that, and maybe they're not cool with that now that Leo Messi's in the league.
I'm going to guess it was a preliminary strike takedown, and then they brought us back up when they realized it was just MLS highlights. That's my guess, but we'll see. Thanks for those who stuck with us. Hopefully we are live. Please comment if you see us so that we get proof of life that we know that we're actually being seen out there.
First of all, you got a wardrobe change. Nice crown.
I got the crown. I got the crown. Bridget was asking... in the first segment, she thank you, Bridget, for being here. And she said, "Where's the crown, Danny?" And so yeah. I went downstairs and got the crown. I don't know why I didn't have it for the first segment, but it's pretty damn nice. John, you and Rachel got this crown for me because I said one time, I was like, "Man, I wish I had a crown to wear to the matches." And you guys got me a crown, so thank you so much.
Yeah, great. I won you that crown. We don't have to go into the story, really? But I won you that crown. We don't have to tell the story.
I really love that. It's a victory crown.
Yeah, so, but great. We're looking for Tifo's questions now. This is the final segment of the show. Appreciate everybody hanging out.
Get them in while you can if you want.
Watching highlights from us, discussing the match. I did want to do player ratings.
Shout out Brian Marley
for what?
Proof of life.
Oh.
Proof of life. They see us.
Okay, great.
They see us. We can do player ratings. You think we're not going to do player ratings?
I did want to do player ratings.
You think so? I'm going to skip the player ratings, Johnny? Come on.
Briefly before
they're up. They're up on the screen, bro.
That would be fantastic.
So I absolutely love it.
I think the most interesting thing is the fact that SofaScore is basically telling me to fuck off with my Christian Kolina criticism. 7.4.
They rated him good, yeah,
last
for sure.
Night, which is pretty surprising. Ultimately, when you only let one goal in and then you do make saves, right, you'll get rated for that. It's just you can go back in the stream if you haven't heard that conversation. Nathan Byrne is 7.0 on the right wing. Look at that back line, all above 7. It's 7.0 huge. For Byrne.
Beautiful.
7.0 for Adilson Milanda. 7.3 for Andrew Priven. And a 7.3 for Yuri Yurinen. I mean, that back line is very, very good. And it's one of those classic back lines, Danny Brams. And I hate to say this for somebody like Jalen Lindsay, who is a great Charlotte FC player.
So talented.
And he's going to – I know for a fact that Jalen Lindsay is going to show up to training and he's going to work really hard,
of course,
for this squad. But this is the type of back line that can go unchanged for a run of 10 games if they're all healthy.
All I will say is I think Lindsay gets into Spellburn a little bit just due to age and just not wanting him to break down. I think 10 games is a little bit harsh, but I do think 5 or 6 games for sure. So I think it's going to be hard for Lindsay to crack in, as much as I love Jay. But the thing is, as you just said, Jalen's not going to stop working. And the fact of the matter is, this is a good lineup all the way through. It's going to be hard for Bronico to jump back in. You know, the way Urso's playing yesterday was not as good as the NYC game, but he's playing pretty nice. You're not displacing Westwood. Diagra, I mean, we might go sign some superstar Cam in the summer, but I don't think anyone's taking Diagra out of the Cam spot. He played really nice last night. He's rated at a 6.9, which I just don't understand because he had the assist. Maybe they didn't give him the credit for this. Maybe I don't know. Let me bring up his heat map because that 6.9 is rough for Brecht.
Check it out. I'm curious what SofaScore has to say about it. I mean, his heat map's okay. He's hanging out
70 minutes. He did sub out, but
yeah, that's
he gave all he had.
Probably why I think Brecht Diagra is somebody that is coming under the microscope right now. I think there's actually two players on Charlotte FC that are under the microscope.
Only 19 passes. Only 19 pass attempts.
There's two players on Charlotte FC that are coming under the microscope for me anyway. When I go home and I go into my lab and I break out the film and I want to take a really close look at this squad, there's and when I'm talking about the film, I'm talking about, you know, the film that, you know, remember back in school when you used to put those – you use the microscope and that film in there. It's been a long time.
The microfiche, yeah. Baby, of course, yeah.
There's two players, and I think this is going to surprise some people. The first player is Brecht Diagra. I think this after talking to Sasha Kleschen, He's somebody that kind of opened my mind a little bit to the idea that, yes, I'm okay with Brecht Diagra as Charlotte FC's 10, but with MLS being a number 10 league, the bar is set pretty high.
Right. You want your 10 to be the best player.
The bar is set high. So that's number one, right? He's under the microscope for me, and there's one other player in this starting 11 that is under the microscope for me.
I just want to say, though, it's to say, oh, I could name 10 better 10s than Diagra, which is what Sasha said. Like, yeah, because teams spend and they all make, like, 10 times the salary of Diagra. Like they're DPs. That's why. Like, don't, I mean, give me a joke. Like,
good point.
I think he was making a little bit of a false equivalency comparison there. And I also think he was comparing Brecht, a version of Brecht that he knew from the Belgian league 5-6 years ago. But, you know, I would love to see Sasha come back on and tell us if he liked the assist. You know, did you like that pass? Or maybe you just give Enzo the assist for the dummy, maybe. Who knows?
The other player that is under my microscope, and
this is Johnny's
maybe
microscope.
Ruffle some feathers a little bit, is Ashley Westwood.
The captain?
I like...
Shout out.
Tell me about that painting over there.
Shout out, defend the queen. It was framed up better on the first segment here. But this is a great painting. How about I just... Yeah, that's what we do here. I know there was a point earlier in the episode where we played one of our illegal MLS clips, and you guys couldn't hear what we were saying.
Tell me about the painting.
The audio was not muted. So apologize. We're going to keep working on those technical issues, but this is a beautiful painting from Defend the Queen at Defend the Queen on Twitter and all social medias. He's a vendor who was at the watch party last night. He was at the tailgate here in the warehouse. And he does great airbrushed art. He just has lots of good portraits of all the guys on this team. He's been doing it since year one.
Right.
And I always wanted to get a piece from this guy. And the fact that he was at the party and I got to meet him in person, I was like, well, I got to freaking buy a piece. Finally, I've been talking about it to myself in my internal monologue in my crazy head for the last couple of years. So, and I had it when he had a lot of pieces. He has Ajimong. He has everybody on the team. He has a great Copetti one for sure. But for me, it was the Westwood art that I had to get. I can't wait to hang this in my little sports room. I'm moving this summer, so I'm going to have a whole new sports room to set up. And I can't wait to give this one a place of honor. Defend the Queen. Go find them. Hopefully, they'll come be a vendor at another event. But this was a great piece of art that I was happy to add to my collection. And why do you hate my new art, John? Like, what the hell, bro?
I like your new art. Okay, don't put words in my mouth. I really do like your new art. I think
if I could handle it here, yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to talk about Ashley Westwood is because I think there's been a kind of this ideal when you're talking about Charlotte FC and the pieces that this club has, that the midfield is crowded, that Bram Bronico can't find his way back in all of a sudden, that Ben Bender, when he's finally back from injury, is going to have a really tough time breaking into the starting 11. And I'm kind of raising my hand and saying, hey, I disagree with that. And I think that's because I really respect here we go. I really respect what Junior Urso does. I thought he was man of the match in the first match, and I think he's somebody that is going to impact this club in a really great way. And I think that Ashley Westwood is somebody that can do that as well. But those two players, in my mind, at this stage in their career, are very similar. They're not necessarily complementary to each other. Right?
Sure.
Where, and by the way, Jabril Diani, somebody
but they can work together.
Yeah, they can play in
the pivot. The double pivot.
That's absolutely right.
For sure.
And it's something that I spoke to Dean Smith about last week at the press conference. I asked him about Ashley Westwood.
Did you grill him? Did you nail him down?
What I asked him was, I said, what does a new defensive signing, Jabril Diani, what does that mean for Ashley Westwood and his freedom to go forward? And Dean Smith, I thought his answer was really, really impressive. I thought he said, when we play in a pivot, Westwood is, to me, somebody that is going to be in that pivot. But if we decide to play with two eights, if we decide to play with two attacking midfielders, then all of a sudden, who plays in that defensive role? Is it Diani? Is it Urso? What I'm trying to tell you is that after two matches, yes, Brecht Diagra, Ashley Westwood, and Junior Urso are the midfielders. But
right.
I need to start thinking about things this way, right? Charlotte FC is starting to accumulate an embarrassment of riches at the midfield position. If Ben Bender comes back from injury
right, yeah.
and is looking really good,
right.
he's connecting play, he's going to push Brecht Diagra for that number 10 role.
He could, for sure. That'd be good. I would love to see Bender play centrally instead of on the wing again.
That's what I've always said about Brecht. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you know, it's not even about saying about Brecht, right?
But everything I've said about Brecht, I also apply to Ben, is what I'm saying. That's all. Just, yeah. If you've been watching this, if you're a loyal fan of the show, you know what I've said about Brecht. I don't even have to say it again.
Right.
Because you all know. You already. I just have to reference, hey, remember what I said about Brecht earlier? And everybody listening knows.
And
the millions watching worldwide.
And we talked about,
we love you, T-Fos.
We talked about Scotty Arfield in that role as well, right? So there's somebody else,
sure, of course,
who now plays in the midfield as well. So let's just give the rundown of the midfield. You've got Ashley Westwood. You've got Junior Urso. You've got Brecht Diagra. You got Jabril Diani. You've got Ben Bender. You've got Brant Bronico. You have, right now, an amazing competition. And I promise you, Dean Smith tonight is saying that's a very, very good thing. And I'm not, in no way, shape, or form, am I suggesting that Ashley Westwood is somebody that should not start for Charlotte FC. But I might start suggesting that he's a player that maybe could come off in the 62nd minute.
Well, since I projected him in our preseason preview episode to get the most minutes for Charlotte FC this year, I can't agree, John, but I like where your head's at. I do think that the schedule starts to wear. Remember when we get in, we talked about the stages of the campaign. Remember when we get into that fixture crunch stage 4. It's coming. It's going to be here faster than you think, where we play 6 games in 22 days, I think, something like that. It's not going to be great.
Well, and it could
there's
be
no
great.
There's no chance Westwood's playing all those games.
It could be great based there's on no chance the depth 30, that we're talking about.
Yeah. Not going to be great for certain individuals that are hoping to play the most minutes on the club to match old Danny Bram's prediction. Yes. You know, I know Westy wants to make me look like a genius there.
Because I can promise you, during this 34-game MLS season, the one thing that matters is Danny Bram's minutes projection at Hotfly on a Sunday afternoon on the patio. So I think it's time. I think it's officially time.
Tifo's questions.
Shout out to the Charlotte FC podcast who's checking in. Balance of vets and new players really starting to take shape. I agree. You know, I would phrase it in a different way, Nick. I would say the balance of veterans and the balance of young new players. I think that if you have a bunch of veterans and you've got established veterans and new veterans, that could become a locker room issue. But when you have established veterans and you have new young players, Liel Abada is going to come into this club as a new signing, a young designated player at 22, and he's going to have. And this is the other side of the coin with Ashley Westwood, he's going to have somebody that he can speak to that welcomes him to Charlotte, that is an engaging captain, somebody that does love the club. He's going to be welcomed here with open arms, and Ashley Westwood sets that tone. So I just want to make sure that I put that out there as well.
I'm with you. And depth is a beautiful thing. Yeah. I brought up the depth chart just a second ago, and it had a lot of injured guys. And so it looks a little thin, but you add Leal Abada, you add in the injured guys coming back, Bronico and Bender, even Tiger Smalls hopefully will come back soon, and all of a sudden we start to look really deep.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah.
Tuiloma coming back for some center back cover. You know, I mean,
right.
I know you want this back line to start every single game.
No, but he's there for
a reason.
This
yeah.
club, this squad is starting to come together in a real way.
And Privet is my guy. Like, I went from a Privet doubter. You can only truly be a true believer of something if you doubted it first, saying my doubt of Privet has been overcome so much that I now, like, he's displaceable for me. He can't be knocked out of, he's undroppable for the year one throwback from the show, for
so,
sure.
Before we get into Tifo's questions, we saw the player ratings. Let's just celebrate the full 90s real quick. We've got Yuri Yurinen.
Full 90, baby.
We've got Adilson Milano. We've got Andrew Privet. We've got Christian Kleena. We've got Nathan Byrne as well as
Kerwin
a full
Vargas,
90 player.
He didn't go the full 90 in game one. Nice to see him
minutes. A really nice 90 minutes from Kerwin Vargas.
Urso and Westwood, for everything you said, both full 90. I mean, I get that they can't do that every game, but.
Well, and that's my point, right? Is like,
right.
When Urso and Westwood go the full 90, Brant Bronico and Ben Bender and Jabril Gianni are sitting there saying, I've got your back next match, and that's a really good thing.
And so Tavares got the goal. Privet got the goal line clearance, both a 7.3. You know who got a 7.3 without any decisive action like that? Yere Yurinen. And Yere played great last night.
Yeah.
Yere is so nice.
He's a classy player.
Yeah, he's a classy, classy player. You're going to fall in love with him if you haven't already this year.
You're not a guaranteed starter for the Finland national team,
right?
Unless you're a classy player, that's just what it is. Let's not pretend like Finland is like the 10th best international team in the world. But if you're going to start for Finland and be a first choice starter, that's pretty impressive.
Love Yere, love Finland. Love it all. Let's get some questions.
Let's get some questions. At first, before we get into the questions, let's just shout out Matt Livingston, who's hanging out with
us
here.
Come up, Matt, yeah, please, yeah, come around. Yeah, please, come on if around. You don't mind, please.
Us, yeah, show some love. We've got a
TIFO. The first ever history made on the Sunday Recap Show. Matt Livingston, great TIFOs.
Tell us about your kit that you're rocking today.
Oh, this is my Porto kit. I got this in Porto. I was there this summer. I'm here watching the game. Porto-Benfica, 5-0 to the Portistas.
Nice.
And I ran into you guys, so.
Yes, we said come up to the studio.
And all
we're
are welcome.
Upstairs. We're hanging upstairs. Yeah. How was the event last night? Did you enjoy the party?
Fantastic. Yeah, I had a great time. Very well run. Plenty of good beer, plenty of good people. Pretty decent result in the day.
Totally.
You happy with the draw?
Well, when you travel 4,000 miles or whatever it is, the MLS, take the road points, they say, when you get them. So,
great call.
Do you have a live TIFO's question for us before we get into the ones on the recording? Maddie, let's go.
That's like
he's already on fire. I love it. I see it here. I've got it starred, Matt. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Cheers.
And
good
thank
you
for
Cheers
coming
you.
Last
Thanks
night,
for coming
bro.
On the show. Yeah, 100%.
Future parties may not be as huge in the warehouse because obviously the fact that Man City Collective showed up is it. Obviously not everyone was there just to see Johnny and I, as much as y'all love us and we love you. Thank you so much. But
nobody was there to see me except for my wife.
But well, hey, what can you do? I was there to see you, John. Come on.
Thank you.
But there will be – the Mid-City Collective will show up at future parties. So the next week is going to be an afternoon party. Might be a little bit smaller. Going to be just as fun. There's going to be other opportunities for big games. MCC joins forces with CSS. It's a beautiful thing. And so you can look forward to just all kinds of great things. And with that having been said
– Let's answer Matt's question.
Rapid fire. Matt, you get the first question. Thank you for showing up today.
Vargas or Tavares on the left – and it's a great question from Matt, and the reason why is because Leo Albata is the new signing. He's probably going to start on the right.
Right.
And at this point –
he played on the right for Celtic.
At this point in the season, it's a tough question, and I say Tavares.
I mean, so the reason I like Kerwin – I've thought about this for sure. And I just like Kerwin's technicality and just his ability to sort of play under control a little bit more. I love Tavares. I think I'm not saying Tavares is out of control, but I just think Kerwin is extremely technically skilled. That's all.
He is.
So it's not a knock on Tavares for me to say that Kerwin is better at controlling, but it's such an interesting question. It's a great question from you, Matt, because it's a real question. Because you assume you're going to pay $7 million, $8 million for Abada to come in. You're going to plug him in as your starting right wing and just, you know, go with the consequences there. So it's a battle for that left wing. And right now, Tavares leads at 1-0. So I can see why people might want Tavares for sure. It's Kerwin for me, but it's definitely a discussion.
The reason why I said Tavares, and by the way, I have no qualms, or I'm not going to sit here and debate your Kerwin.
Debate answer. Me, bro.
No,
debate
I'm not me, bro. I'm going to explain to Matt.
Prove
why,
me wrong.
I'm going to explain to Matt why I picked Tavares, and it's because I thought Dean Smith said something really interesting, and it made me think about the game and his tactics very simply. Is that he said that my forward line is my first line of defense, and my back line is where the offense begins. And when I see Tavares on the pitch, I see him as an unbelievably good defensive wing. He's so long. His length is really important.
Right.
And he can take the ball off of somebody with that length, right? He's got the ability to tackle. It's really tough to get around Tavares. So if Dean Smith, to me, is thinking about his forward three in that way, hey, who's going to – and by the way, that's why he loves Capetti, right? Capetti is such a badass when it comes to pressing.
Tip of the spear.
You know, being the tip of the spear, exactly
tip of the
right.
Spear.
And I think Tavares right now is a better defensive winger than Kerwin Vargas. I think Dean Smith is going to go to work with Kerwin and try to teach him how to play a little bit of defense.
Kerwin left back.
That would be Latanzio. Latanzio would have made that move.
Yeah, yeah. Latanzio would be like, Kerwin is our new defensive mid.
Yes, defensive mid. 100%.
I think we can't lose. I say, as much as I hate it for like fantasy purposes, because I'm a huge fantasy soccer player, and the most important part of that is being able to confidently project who the starting 11 is going to be a couple days in advance when I have to lock my lineups in. So I hate the idea of those guys constantly battling it out as a fantasy player. As a Charlotte FC fan, I love it because it means we're always going to get the best. And, like, they can play every other game. I know you need a run of games to get consistency and form, but, like, I'm perfectly fine. I think I'm not calling them interchangeable, but we're very happy with either of them, I think.
Okay.
Assuming Ibata works out.
Yes. Yeah, Leo Ibata. He's definitely going to work out. Right. And Danny and I, we got into it earlier on the show about the visa process and whether if you're Israeli, whether something is different with that process. I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. I'm not going to pretend like I have the answers to that.
I have one friend who lives in Israel and told me that the work visa process is not going to take any time whatsoever. I don't know how much authority this guy has, but the thing that was fueling me where I was like, I'm not sure it could be quicker is because I have a friend who told me that it's going to take no time at all. But based on experience in my life, these things take forever. So that's why I'm so confused and not sure about it.
I didn't bring it up to have a debate about the visa process. I just brought it up to have an honest conversation about it.
I just don't know. I just don't like to have an honest conversation about stuff that I can't be honest about because I don't know the info.
Well, for what it's worth, every time I come on the show, I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to pretend like I know everything because I don't. But I'm going to pretend like I'm going to know what I'm talking about when I'm answering the questions. What's the next one?
All right, fair enough. Well, this one you'll know for sure, and this is your chance to show off, Johnny, from Brian Marley. Is that the new season ticket member scarf?
Yes, it is.
Can't wait for his to
arrive. Absolutely. Yeah.
Show some features.
Yeah, totally
here,
right. Yeah, I mean, it's a great
scarf. The club knocked
it
out here.
Obviously, you've got the logo here. It says season ticket member on here as well.
Feels good.
And then I thought something that was really interesting that they included here, if I can find what side this is on, is that they have a QR code. They have a QR code right here on the scarf, right? So you can scan that QR code. Do you have your phone?
Let's scan that QR code. I believe it leads to the chant page. I believe it like teaches you like what the chants are, but let's find out.
It was a really smart move by the club to put that QR code on there.
This is technology. And this is the future right here. Screenshot this right here because this is the future right here. Live streaming me, QR code, Johnny's scarf is the future of technology for sure.
Now,
it takes you to the supporters' chance page. So if you're like, hey, babes, beer, and soccer, I say Charlotte is wonderful.
It's not. It won't have those lyrics, but those should be the lyrics.
Well, they're my lyrics.
But it's really cool to have the QR code.
I haven't heard that one too much.
It's really cool that it has a QR code there to the chances. And so shout out to the club. That is the new STM scarf. What's the next question?
There's a couple chants on that page that I am not familiar with. But how about, this is not a question, but I did start this comment because I think it was pretty good. Don't worry about Enzo. It took Messi 3 games to go. Enzo will still get 20 this year. But this is the real question from Rob Barnes. 1 to 10, how concerned are you about the missed 1v chances from both Copetti and Vargas in the first 2 games? Is this early season jitters or a concerning lack of quality? Johnny, take it away.
I'm going to put myself in Dean Smith's shoes, and he's going to say all the right things. But it's a concerning.
Right.
It's not concerning lack of quality, right? Let's just cut it off at concerning.
Right.
Right. There is no lack of quality with Enzo Copetti and Kerwin Vargas. We know that both those players are quality players. We've seen them do it here at Charlotte FC. We've seen Enzo Copetti do it at the highest division in Argentina as well. And it's why he's a senior DP here with Charlotte FC. So there's no lack of quality. I do think that there is a concern, though, after 2 matches with plenty of chances that neither of them have put one into the back of the net.
I think so, sure. Lack of quality is one thing, but what Dean said, like he repeated the same line last night when they asked him about Enzo's miss. He repeated the same line from Kerwin's missed penalty and Kerwin's missed right after that, which is quality players get chances. If you're not good, you don't get those chances. And Enzo created that chance for himself. It was a great header from Diagra, but it was a speculative header from Diagra. And Enzo's the one that ran it down. So. Right.
I disagree with you that he created that chance for himself. Diagra created that chance by heading the ball directly into his path. Enzo was making the run. It was that's why I talked about the telepathic communication between the 9 and the 10. Right. The ball didn't just end up on Enzo's feet. There was a crucial touch at midfield by Breck Diagra right into Enzo's step. But he's in the right place. And that's the point, right, is that everybody – and I want to underscore this, right? Mm-hmm. Dean Smith has these guys – Dean Smith is a fucking drill sergeant, right? He's got these guys exactly where they need to be at all times on the pitch. And that is an incredible step in the right direction for this club.
Dino does the thing where – he's all smiles and laughs and easy jokes, in public. But behind closed doors, he's hammering these guys a little bit more for sure. This is a question I kind of semi-answered this on the show, but we'll throw it back up for the TFOS questions. How many extra times did Danny have been enjoying last night? Christopher Gallagher, thanks for checking in. Had around six or so and some others. I finished on nine. Non-10, excuse me. I just got over. The over-under was 9.5, and I finished on 10. So cash those tickets, folks, for sure. I hope everybody had fun, no doubt. And I had one more for good measure this morning, but I'm now drinking a surreal time because, as Johnny said, life with Charlotte FC having 4 points after two games and no losses feels a little surreal.
It does, and I love the fact that it's almost – Danny, I don't want to get into this too much on the show right now, but it's pretty poetic that the brewery that we ended up partnering with, the time is a theme here.
Mm-hmm. And extra time, crunch time, surreal time. Yeah.
Right. So it's
a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Time is on my side. How about that? Someone asked for more synchronized singing on the show earlier, so I can say, time is on my side. Are you supposed to jump in with
me? I don't know. I thought you were going to say time after time.
If you will, and you will, and you will find me.
Great song.
Time after time. There you go. So this is a great question from Chief Kiefer. Let me answer this one, Johnny, if you don't mind. If the new young DP, Leia Labada, fails, when are we going to have the conversation about Zoran's job? The answer to that one is after Zoran comes and visits on the show and not before, for sure. And then last question that I got, we kind of already talked about this, but this is the last one I can find. So thank you, everybody, for your questions. Did you show us where the hot fly beds are yet, since you're there all the time? Have we even left this place? We joked about it earlier, but, I mean, is there a bedroom in the back that I need to be taken avail of? I was sleeping on the roof.
the cool thing about hot fly is you can get lost in this place. There's a bit of a maze.
There's like a weight bench back there.
There's an upstairs patio. There's an upstairs a bar, there's a downstairs bar, there's a warehouse, there's an outside patio.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just...
There's like a hidden room by the ping pong table. It's crazy, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but Hot Fly has been a great partner, and I think Hot Fly, I want to give Cam Schultz, as we wrap up this show, the founder and CEO here, who has done just such a tremendous job realizing exactly what Charlotte FC is, and the reason why I do this on the show and I start giving props and talk about people in this sort of way is because I think there's a lot of people in Charlotte that are doing the opposite, actually, that have their head buried into the sand, that don't realize that the soccer community in this city is absolutely massive and that this professional team in town is probably the best thing going when it comes to sports in Charlotte. And it takes people to really recognize that. I know soccer is a sport in the United States that a lot of people consider fifth, sixth, seventh on the list of popularity. But I can tell you this much. Going to a Charlotte FC game puts going to a Panthers game to shame. Right.
Going to a Charlotte FC watch party on the road puts going to a Panthers road watch party to shame.
Yeah, and we don't even have to discuss the Hornets. The Hornets are just a complete travesty of an organization. And there's one club in Charlotte right now on a the top tier professional level that is doing things right. And it's not trying to give credit to the club. It's just trying to give credit to people who are paying paying attention.
Yeah, it's credit to the supporters, because the club would be nothing without us. And most people associated with the club understand that, thankfully. And I'm not talking about us when I talk about me and Johnny. I'm talking about us when I talk about you and you and you and you out there watching right now. Y'all are the ones that make this club. We said that from the beginning. So, yeah, I shout out to Cam. Shout out to Hot Fly for recognizing what's going on. Cam, the mission is the new home for soccer in Charlotte. You know, a little bit of a focus on South End, but anywhere you live in this city, get to Hot Fly. I posted a bunch of pictures on all our feeds all day because there were so many good pictures to look at. And so the caption is, if you weren't at Hot Fly last night, you should have been. And don't forget that next week afternoon.
Tell you a quick story before we get out of here. And it's that what we heard last night, I haven't seen photos of this, but what we were told was that on the charter flight home, that the staff and the players were passing around phones with pictures and videos of the support at Hot Fly, and they were very, very thankful for the support. And they felt like, even though they felt down about the draw, and they felt like they deserved more than 1 point, seeing the support, knowing that this city is behind them, lifted them up, lifted their spirits up, and they flew home knowing that they got something for their efforts in Vancouver.
And these were like the last images that these guys saw before losing internet service on as the plane took off, you know, on the runway. They were watching the videos from Hot Fly on the runway. Absolutely amazing to know that. And just thinking about the connection with the club, knowing that Brandon Cambridge was here at the party last night, you know, he wasn't going to miss a chance to hang out with the Mint City Collective because he knows, like it's the supporters. You know, you don't have to be in a supporters group. You can be an in or out of a supporters group. Doesn't matter. The groups do a great job, obviously, and we shouted them out and we'll continue to.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. Like, just being a supporter, whatever you do, whether you go to the games, whether you talk to friends who aren't soccer fans about the club at work, because that's your way to spread the message. Like, everybody's out there doing their thing, and like, the club could not be successful without every single person's efforts. I truly believe that. Truly believe that.
Good hands.
You wear the crown, everybody. I don't need it anymore.
Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. Follow us on Instagram, Charlotte Soccer City. If you're watching us live on Instagram right now, cheers to you. Thanks for being there. Follow us on X at For The Crown Baby. We're live there as well. You can watch us there. You can find Charlotte Soccer Show on YouTube. If you're on YouTube watching us now, shout out to you. That's how we get the comments.
My favorite channel is YouTube, I got to admit.
Make sure you sub and make sure you give us the like and make sure you drop a comment in.
Yeah, follow the Substack. The written word. We do written words every once in a while. We put it match week one day, Mondays out to sort of get you ready for the week. We do columns based on, you know, reaction to the things the players say. And I wrote a column this week about all those old midfielders that John spent this entire episode shitting on. So make sure you go read that.
Match week Monday newsletter every week is going to be coming out tomorrow. You can find a link to this episode, and we'll make sure that we. I think the reason why I think what you're going to see is you're going to see as this week rolls on, you're going to see different outlets talking about the match. But yeah. by the when it comes to Charlotte Soccer Show, by the time Monday rolls around, we're thinking about the next opponent. So
yeah, it's true.
Next week, tomorrow,
we're on to Toronto.
Match week Monday will come out, and we're talking about the match against Toronto on
against
Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern start. It sounds like that we're going to be here at Hot Fly. We don't know exactly what that party is going to look like, but we'll update you where we're going to be at Hot Fly, where we're going to do this watch party on Saturday for this Toronto match. But I've got a feeling that this Vancouver match has left this Charlotte FC squad still hungry, right?
Right.
They're trying to go back to the table and eat a little bit and get no three doubt. Points.
It should be a motivated week of training for sure. I can't wait to see. I believe Tavares is going to speak this week. I've heard from the handlers that Tavares was hoping to get to the post-game press conference last night after his goal, but just wasn't available. Probably just taking too long to just get all those props from his teammates in the locker room and everyone giving him hugs. He didn't have a chance to get to the press conference, but should be speaking to a microphone this week, so can't wait to hear from Yuri. Look for that on all the channels.
And we have hopefully two special guests coming up this week. You've seen BWP, Bradley Wright Phillips on the show. You've seen Sasha Kleshchen on the show. If you know the MLS 360 crew, there might be a chance we get somebody else this week
as well.
Know.
We're not promising anything, but.
And I've reached out to somebody from Total Soccer Show who might know Liel Abada really, really well.
Ooh, some actual Liel Abada analysis behind Danny Brams posting goal videos. Let's fucking go. This guy's amazing.
Yes, and we'll get down to the bottom of the visa process, and we'll talk to you about international politics and how that visa process actually works on the show. But we're going to figure that out for real. And who knows? Maybe Jabril Diani will be available for this Toronto
Where
match.
In the world is Jabril Diani?
We're going to potentially see
I can't wait to see Jabril out on the field wearing the black and blue.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. And as always, Danny Brams.
For the crown, baby.